KSCU Santa Clara presents. Robots Attack. Movies. TV. Video games. Comic books. Tech stuff. News. Music. A bit is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me, of course, is...
Hello, it's Caleb.
And...
Jason.
That's right. We're here every Monday from 6 to 8 to entertain you, to make you feel special and unique.
And especially uniquely entertained.
Yes. All right, gentlemen. How have you been? How was your weekends? How was since last we spoke? Feels so long ago.
Yeah, it probably seems like a longer time for you since you had all the happenings, and we did some kind of cool stuff. We ended up hanging out a little bit on Saturday. So
how dare you hang out with me without me?
Hey, them's the breaks. But
I feel really let down because you were down at SDCC, yeah.
But yeah, caught up on Korra a little bit since the Fongs have not seen it yet.
Yep, not all the way through yet.
And also spent a little bit of quality time with Bravest Warriors.
That's a good show.
Which a new episode just came out. Today also, so
oh yeah, there you go.
So see, we're already in the news segment.
Hey, all right, getting right to it. Cool, sounds good. Yeah,
and what did you do?
I went to this little indie convention called San Diego Comic Con.
Okay,
it's, you know, it's kind
of
small.
I'm not sure I've heard of it. Trying to get
its foot in there. You know, reach out
to the audience,
to the nerds and the geeks out there.
Well, I wish it luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, hey, it's trying really hard. It's a little train that could.
What it lacks in quality, it makes up for in gusto.
In gusto.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, if you can't already tell, I'm like working on, I'm trying to catch up on sleep again. I like got back from the airport around midnight and like made lunch for work and then just crashed. Like, I haven't even unpacked yet. I still have all my stuff in there. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And we'll be talking about that in the core when I have, you know, news stories and all that sort of stuff and have the guys ask me stuff. And I'll try my best to remember everything. It's, as I said, my brain is a little fried. So I will try to massage it and work it so I can remember certain things. And
okay.
I brought the program with me so I can kind of like look at the day and go, okay, what did I see? Right. Okay. What happened to the, you know, kind of to help refresh.
That's smart. That's very
there
smart.
There was a lot of stuff and a lot of things that I was unfortunately not able to get into. I tried my best, but some things that I did get to do that I really wanted to, like get my hands on an Xbox One.
Uh-huh.
Play a couple games. That controller is really nice.
Really,
but yeah, we'll talk about that and much more. And of course, we will have
Caleb's Corner. We'll be talking about the introverts in your life.
Interesting.
In my life specifically,
it might be in your life. It might be in the life of others, and you know, just kind of how to interact with an introvert in a way that is good for everyone involved.
Okay.
Interesting.
I could use that.
Let's see, what day was that? Actually, Saturday, I ran into someone that I met last year at Comic-Con for the first time, who was like a fellow IGN fan.
Okay.
And we went and had drinks. He had his girlfriend with him this time, and we actually talked a little bit about being, like, myself being an introvert and he being an introvert. And so it's kind of weird. So there you go. All right.
Perfect
timing. It's perfect. It's like it was planned. Totally. We totally set that conversation up that I had. And
so I'm the only one out of the know.
We'll see. We'll lay the knowledge down on you. See?
Okay.
There we go. I like it.
Prepare to drop it like it's hot.
Clunk.
In a educational way?
Yes.
I think.
I hope so. Hopefully.
It's knowledge is hot, fresh off the presses, something like that.
Presses and the toasters.
That's pretty good,
and
too, though. I mean,
yeah.
If you can do all of those things all at once.
I agree.
And of course, we'll have game discussion. Jason played a little bit of a Spartacus Legends.
Right.
And I had the chance to play a little bit of one of the upcoming Summer of Arcade games, which I'll talk a little bit about that. And and then we'll, of course, have the news. And be a most excellent show, I believe, despite our sounding of lack of energy or energy. We're all a little fried, but we're going to do our best to entertain you. So hopefully you bear with us and, you know.
It'll be good times.
Yeah, I agree.
So should we lead off with the new releases for this week?
Well, right before the new releases, I'm going to let the people know about the top five box office over the weekend. Number one, we had The Conjuring, which made $41.5 million.
Dang.
That's impressive.
Is that a record for a horror movie?
I couldn't tell you. That does seem pretty solid, though.
Yeah.
Going to number one,
that's,
too.
That's up there.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I guess people had enough of the kiddie movies. It's like,
no more
time
Despicable
to bring
Me
it back.
Let's make this number one. And I believe it's starring Vera Farmiga.
Nice.
Forget her last name. But
it's okay.
The reason why I mention it is because I saw her at the Bates Motel panel, and she's...
And I was jealous of you.
Yeah. She and one of the other cast members are... like, you know, even more pretty in person. So, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
She is striking.
Yeah, I would agree. And congrats to her Emmy nomination for the show. All right, number two, Despicable Me 2.
What?
$25.1 million.
Dang.
That's still, still
that's
in
holding
there.
On.
Still in there.
I've heard really good things about that from practically everybody who's talked about it. So
I've heard the same.
Yeah.
Saying better than the first one, or?
Yeah. Everybody's saying that. Everybody's saying, like, hands down.
All right. I hope that's true. I saw they had a minion, I think. Mm-hmm. That was a little bit like a blimp, like flying around one of the
nice.
Days.
That's pretty good.
Number three, Turbo, with $21.5 million, the super fast snail, so...
That was Ryan Reynolds, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And
number four, want to take a guess?
R.I.P.D.?
Nope.
No.
I'll give you a hint.
Pacific Rim?
The Heat?
It was a fairly high numbered one. You know,
is it
with
Monsters? You?
Nope. Within like the most recent few weeks. Grown Ups 2 with $20 million.
Oh,
yeah, so I hope everyone wants to see Grown Ups 3 and probably 4.
Because it's probably coming.
Yeah.
It's like Smurfs 2. Why?
Yeah. And number 5, Red 2 with $18.5 million. So, R.I.P.D. did not even make the top 5.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew it didn't do well when I saw a story saying that, hey, Ryan Reynolds disappointed in two movies this weekend.
That's rough.
That is unfortunate. But speaking of something that is fortunate, you can listen to KSU even when you're not near radio. You can stream us. I suppose you can stream us too, whatever the heck that is. Whenever you want.
Unless it's bad.
Yeah, then don't stream us.
Right.
Please? Someone's looking up an Urban Dictionary like, yeah, you
right.
don't
want to
be
we're in every dialect of
streamed.
Every language ever.
So yeah, you can listen to us whenever you want at KCU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. And this is especially important because apparently our FM radio signal is might or might not be having some issues. So if it does sound kind of weird, which is super awesome for our talk show.
Yeah.
Hey. You can, you know, try streaming us, the things mentioned there and whatnot. But we are having our engineers check it out. The awesome EO, one of the DJs here, has like been on top of it. He like anytime there's a problem here, he's like on it. And it's pretty awesome since, you know, we're not like a paid radio station kind of thing. So
it's he's got the passion.
He does. Yeah.
So, and yeah, apparently, like, he has the longest running show here. It's in, like, the 29th year. So, let's, congrats.
Hats off to you, EO.
Congrats to that. Dang. That, I think it's Decadence every Thursday.
Decadence, yeah.
Yeah. From 6 to 8, I think he has our time slot on Thursdays. We have the 6 to 8 on Mondays. So,
yeah.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, that's where the top fives. Now, future, perhaps. Top fives in the movie theaters. We have some movie called Terra Firma. We got Apartment 1303 3D.
Oh, that's a lot of threes.
Yeah. Wow.
We got Breaking the Girls, Drug War, Extracted, Frankenstein's Army, Stranded, The Time Being, The To-Do List, starring Aubrey Plaza.
Okay. Suddenly I'm more interested in it.
That makes slightly more sense now.
Yeah. And perhaps probably the biggest release of the week, The Wolverine.
Oh,
in both to non-3D and 3D versions.
And accompanying it this week was also the release of... The Wolverine musical.
Oh,
yeah. Online.
What?
Yeah, that was
special.
Yeah. I guess I'm not sure if the link you gave was the exact same one that I saw while at Comic-Con.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But yeah, because one of the panels, like, he sang like a little bit of like Wolverine dialogue or something, and it was it was pretty funny.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, those are the big releases for theaters this week.
Okay, alrighty. Coming to a disc near you, Ginger and Rosa, Twixt. That one looks like it might be creepy.
Oh, well, there you go.
The Silence. I don't know if it actually should be said like
also
that.
Also Twixt or no?
No, I don't know. Welcome to the Punch. Pieta, Graceland.
Do you think, is it, if you know, is it punch as in like, you know, you're punching somebody or it, like punch it, like the drink?
It has a cover that looks like an action flick.
Okay.
It looks like a Welcome to the Punch with or without Falcons. I don't know.
Okay.
And then said Graceland already. So then wrapping up with Love and Honor.
Aw, how sweet. All right. In the video games, we've got NASCAR the Game 2013. All right. Got Hot Shots Golf World Invitational, the Serious Sam Collection, Advantage Math, Stealth Incorporated, A Clone in the Dark, The Smurfs 2. Getting ready for the Smurfs release, and I think next week or something.
Right.
Yeah.
That's going to be pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Not totally freaked out by those ads.
Nope, not at all. Mars Warlogs.
Okay, for people that you say Warlocks, like Warlocks of Mars, that could be Warlogs. Also, yeah. Still could be cool.
Right.
And
Warlogs of the Ghosts.
And Shadowrun Returns. There you have the video games of this week.
Dang.
Okay. All right. Some decent titles in there. All right. In comic book land, things you might want to add to your poll list this week, perhaps Batman and Superman number 2, Justice League Dark number 22.
Ooh, Dark.
Yeah, this one's part of the their Trinity
Later.
War. No, that's different. That's different. We'll get to those in a second.
Ooh, all right. we've got to get ready for that.
Yep. All right, so ready for Hunger number one.
Now.
That's right.
Now.
Oh, Mr. Simpson. Superior Spider-Man team-up number one.
Oh, all right.
And then from the non-big two publishers, we have Mass Effect Foundation number one. This one's going to be an ongoing series. Rocketeer and the Spirit team-up for in Pulp Fiction number one.
Hey,
and that's
nice.
Not the Quentin Tarantino film Pulp Fiction. It's the wow. phrase that the movie got its title from, which was the pulp comic books of the day.
That right. would be quite the film.
Yeah. That would be a heck of a crossover.
Yeah. So then there is a comic book out of Hollywood called The Bounce. And wrapping it up with a brand new Fathom. All new Fathom number one.
Nice.
Is it a reboot or is it?
Probably.
Okay.
Every so often, I think they kind of like sort of relaunch the title characters thing. And not, I don't know if they're retelling it or they're just kind of like starting over with a new.
Yeah, usually they're like, they don't retell the story so much. It just kind of start like instead of going issue number 47, let's just put it back to one. So new people can kind of get into it and that sort of thing.
It's almost like they're limited series. They just don't say it at first. Like they don't know how long this team will go for. They'll just kind of let it go until it stops, and then they make another number one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting how it sort of used to be like they never even really thought about that. You know, you'd have like Action Comic number 487. And then I'm thinking, well, wait, that when people see those really high numbers, like, it's hard to get like a new person to kind of jump on board. Like, where do I start? What do I do? Like,
yeah. Like, well, I start back in 387. Wait, yeah.
What? No.
Yeah. So that's one of the things that the New 52 also was trying to do is like drop the numbers back down. We know it and just sort of, you know, start again and hopefully fix some of the continuity errors. But then again, they introduce new ones. So it's really just an excuse to set the clock back to one, really.
Yeah. And, you know, if you love the characters anyway, what do you, you know.
It doesn't really make that much difference.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. So that has been the new releases of the week in various geek
mediums.
We're going to take a little music break and then come back with our news portion of the show. I'm going to play a track called The Neighborhood Float from the album I Love You. And right before I push play on that track, Caleb's going to tell you how you can participate on our show because we like it when you do.
That's right. If you have something that you're excited about in the new releases or have a new release that we haven't mentioned that we think that you think we should know about, you can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack. That's two words. And with the new social graph search bar thingy, I can attest to the fact that if you search Robots Attack two words, you will find us.
All right. Yes. Yay. Score.
Nice. Yeah. And then you can find us on Twitter as well. We are Robots Attack Me. And then finally, we are also on ye old email at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if all that's just word salad, just hold on a sec. robotsattack.me. Everything I have discussed and mentioned will show up there. It's archived episodes, and the interact button has links that you have to try and remember how to spell any of this there to all the things I've described. So please interact with us.
I'm glad I held
more
on a sec because that was pretty good.
Yeah. And yeah,
interact and enjoy.
Yes. And if you have later, you know, in our core portion of the show, we're going to discuss San Diego Comic-Con. So if you have any questions, shoot us those questions. I said shoot those questions to us just in case somebody thought I said something else. You know, I'm tired as the, you know, voice, some of this getting a little lower, but just to clarify. Yeah.
Right.
Shoot us those questions. We'll do our best to answer them, and it might spark some thing in my mind like, oh yeah, I forgot about that or something. So right. Yeah, please send your questions even for all the other stuff as well. But anyway, let's get to that music break. I will repeat it again just in case you're tuning in to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. I'm going to play the track Float from the band The Neighborhood from the album I Love You. We are Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack, Winola Geek Center talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. I got a little PSA for you. San Jose Animal Advocates, are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us on sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook. Now it is time for...
News.
That's right. We are in the news. Caleb, do you have our first story?
I do indeed. And it is, I think, a pretty awesome story.
Is it a doozy of a story? Or?
We'll be the judge of that.
It actually is kind of a doozy of a story. Because we're familiar with the idea of levitation, moving things around by with the idea of especially magnetic levitation, where you take two repulsive surfaces, magnetic fields, put them close together, and they don't press, and then you can kind of slide things along right. This way. But this is kind of a challenging thing to use, like it presents challenges to science in using it, because you have to have, you know, metallic or ferrous metal materials which will respond to magnetism,
right?
And you know, say like you're moving a piece of wood or a piece of DNA, a fragment of DNA and a fragment of
virus. One of those bar things, like a fragment of DNA and a piece of wood walk into a bar.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I digress.
Well, like say you wanted to move these, you know, a piece of DNA and a fragment of a skin sample or something like that. You know, you want to move two samples together, but you can't touch them physically. And putting them onto a magnetic slide would also be impractical. What do you do with that? Well, some researchers out of Zurich have made a way to levitate things with the power of sound.
Oh.
Yes. They create...
Banshee's been doing that forever, though.
Yeah, but he's a mutant. It's ability that comes from the power of a singing voice, so to speak.
Okay.
Well, this is...
And fictional.
This is real science with...
Sorry to blow your mind on that, Joe.
What? Banshee's not real. I need to rethink my life. Starting with asking one of them out right now.
On July 15th, in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, the scientists from ETH Zurich gave out the specifics of how detailed the specifics of how their system works, and they have a set of small aluminum.
Aluminium.
If you're British, squares that are hooked up to oscillators, and they move at a very precise rhythm, and then above that, their device has a plexiglass sheet which reflects the sound waves back down at the oscillators, and then you end up with a low pressure system between the two waves where they cancel out because they're still at the same frequency.
Okay, that's weird.
Yeah, and in this tiny zone, you can put material of non-ferrous,
like wood or DNA,
like wood DNA DNA pieces. You can put drops of water and pieces of sodium or
or what have you.
Yeah, like it what makes this awesome is it's no longer relegated to Ferronis materials or magnetic repulsion of some sort. You can do these sorts of very precise, very very clean room sensitive procedures without having to, you know, because like, you know, you're trying to manipulate such small objects, you want to bring them together in a completely clean, scientifically, you know, studyable environment, but you can't use your hands, you can't use an arm.
And you don't have Banshee.
You don't have Banshee, you don't have robot, you don't have a robot arm, which is clean, which would do this in this quite the same way. They can now levitate something on Earth. They don't have to send the experiment to space anymore to work on it, because that's the only other place you could do stuff like this. You could now accomplish a lot of these tasks here on Earth, and this is just really awesome, I think.
Yeah.
Because you can tell by the excitement. It's, you know, it's, is, you know, and this is like...
See, you out there in Radioland can't see it, but he is, in fact, very excited.
We will describe it. His pants are off.
Right. It's making me a little bit uncomfortable.
But it's for science.
Right.
Science!
Right.
But no, like this is totally awesome. They even have a video of it working. I am posting the story right now to Facebook and Twitter. And it is this is just so cool, because like the idea of being able to use the power of sound to move objects is like this is just
much like Tenacious D.
Mm-hmm. The power to move you. Yes.
Yes.
With music.
The power of sound compels you.
Exactly.
The power of sound compels you, Exorcist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Swap
yeah.
out.
I
gotcha.
Need, yeah. I need rosary beads to like whip around.
You need some form of science beads.
Right.
Like whatever the equivalent of the rosary beads for science.
Right. And, why don't I have those?
Man.
They're normally completely within arm's reach.
Yeah, the next phase of this is obviously to move beyond just, you know, molecular bits onto things like steel bearings and stuff like that, so you can do some of the other cool science that requires as low gravity as possible or as clean a connection as possible.
Oh.
Okay.
So that's the other way next is trying to make
it. It reminds me of an old story from, I don't know, like 3 years ago, where they figured out how to make this little capsule thing that I think it was based on magnetism, but they were making things levitate and they were showing it off with a frog, and it was a frog like,
yes,
floating around like freaking out, like, why are you doing this to me?
Yeah, it was like the frog was slowly, I have seen that video, and the frog's slowly rotating, and it's like you can tell, like, look in its eyes, is like, what just happened?
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Oh my gosh,
this is unnatural.
Yeah, I don't think that frog was very happy, but it was a very cool science video,
right? Until it chilled out and
then
loved
it, sort of,
it.
Then it just sort of like lay there and it's like, all right, I can't do anything about this. I'm just, you know,
enjoyed
the ride.
Sure. It was one or the other. I couldn't tell. I didn't have a heartbeat monitor hooked up to the frog.
It started croaking a Major Tom.
Yeah.
No, but so this is, you know, but that was still magnetism. It takes a lot of power and, you know, specialized. And the thing that made that particular experiment difficult was that it was a relatively small diameter hole that you could put
right.
things into.
Yeah, it was really small. Then I was expecting, honestly, it to be a follow-up of that story. Like, they figured out how to make an entire room of this thing.
Which would be pretty awesome, but I don't know if we're quite there yet. But this other technology with the sound waves might actually get us to a room or a long assembly line type thing built on this type of technology, which would be kind of rad.
I'm just totally imagining, like, from Back to the Future, those giant speakers and amps that Michael J. Fox blew out. I'm just imagining him levitating with that. I mean, he sort of flew for a second there.
That's
so
true, yeah.
Anyway, my rebuttal to your story, because it was actually kind of awesome, as much as I hate to admit it. Well, so these guys can make things float, but... a town in Norway figured out how to summon the sun at will.
Oh!
Oh!
That is crazy. How does that work?
Well, okay, it's not really at will.
Okay. But,
it's at Bill.
Right. I'm sure there's a Bill in here someplace.
Or Jill.
Isn't spelled all funky with a J in it. Anyway, so Norway, much like places in the United States, such as Alaska, has parts of it that end up with very little amounts of light at certain times of year because the sun ends up at the right angle that it ends up completely messing with things,
okay.
including people's minds because they can't see the sun. Apparently people need the sun for sanity and whatnot.
Funny that.
Anyway, so one of these towns, they came to the conclusion that they needed the sun and they built giant mirrors on a mountaintop to reflect the sun down into their town.
Oh, huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it can only reflect as much sun as the mirrors are big, but the way that they used it is to illuminate a town square.
Okay, so they can all gather and bask in the sun for a little while. And
exactly.
Then...
It apparently doesn't translate any heat, but for the 5 months out of the year that this town gets absolutely no direct sunlight, it's still a pretty nice thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was thinking, like, would it make a laser beam?
If they focused it correctly.
Well,
okay, maybe not a laser beam, but it's sort of related in another sort of way. This technology, the giant mirrors that they're using for this, are usually used in solar power production. They're the reflectors that they use to gather and confine the light into the area where they have the best solar collectors.
Okay.
So they're very efficient mirrors.
Exactly.
Cool.
Well, I have a sort of science story from San Diego Comic-Con that I can throw in on this
there
because
you go.
It's not worth mentioning.
Mirror and levitation?
Not exactly.
Okay.
But it was a Science Channel panel.
Oh.
And I went to it because the following panel was the playback from the Hall H panels in the Ballroom 20, so I wanted to get a good seat.
Well, there you go.
But it was Science Channel panel, and they were talking about, like, I think it was, like, Science Channel undiscovered files or some sort of, like, these were...
Okay.
Not so much the X-Files kind of stuff, but, like, not really... mainstream kind of science stuff that's been, you know, fully explained and everything.
Okay.
So
fringe science, as it were.
Yeah. You can throw it. Yeah.
Like Marsh
throw it
gas
in that.
Is what we're talking about.
One of the things was red rain. Right? So I was barely, I apologize to the panel that were there. clearly they're
to
probably
the panel
listening.
Of Science Channel.
Yeah.
They totally planned
that.
They named their entire station just to be able to do panels.
I wasn't really listening completely to what they were saying. Yeah, I was looking over other stuff, planning my next day and whatnot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Which I don't understand because science is amazing.
Yeah, I agree. Science is amazing. But yeah, so I heard vaguely things, and if someone else out there knows exactly the red rain stuff, feel free to shoot us the info if you so desire.
Yes. Okay.
I don't know if I'll look at it at all, but hey, go ahead and do it. Someone here probably
Caleb
will.
probably would.
And,
check out.
Sorry, I was distracted by something. More specifically, someone. Anyway, shiny. So back, I have another thing about shiny too, also that I can talk about for my next story.
Okay.
But anyway, okay, back to the science panel. Man, I'm like blowing this whole thing out of proportion. It's probably not even going to be very good now and afterwards. But okay, anyway, red rain.
Do it.
Something
just,
about like.
Just so the listeners know, Joe right now is not under the influence of alcohol. He's just very tired.
I've seen it
before.
Yes.
It's similar. But just so you know.
Yes, thank you. Thank
we
you
are
for the
not radioing and drink.
Anyway. That would be bad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We never do that here on the show.
Right.
Nor
at least not often.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so red rain. It sounded like some sort of like bacteria type of thing, like inside the rain, and so it was like eating what? Things or something. And
I literally got chills down my spine from you saying bacteria in the rain.
Yeah, it was weird. Since I was sort of like 20% listening and, okay. and you know 80% paying attention to other
does
stuff.
Does that mean that was, there's like a bacteria cloud floating around
well,
someplace?
Is the
cloud red?
The bacteria in the air,
and when it interacts with the water, it turns red. Is my guess.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. Again, I wasn't
It was freaky
super,
is what you're saying.
Yeah, but here's the whole entire point of why I mentioned it.
Okay.
As the person was, as they were talking about it and saying, it popped in my head. See, if you've never been to San Diego Comic-Con, I can't say all the panels, but most of the panels, the very last thing they do is they open up a Q&A and they have a microphone. You can go up and ask questions.
Right.
So
right.
as soon as they started talking about Red Rain, I so wanted to do this. I wanted to go up during the Q&A and go, my question for the panel is this. Red Rain, Peter Gabriel's best song or greatest song? And I was cracking up to myself, probably looking very strange as I'm bent down looking at the magazine going, oh, I so want to do that. I so want to do that. But I didn't. Because I had respect.
Right.
I didn't, mm-hmm.
For the Science Channel panel.
Yes. I did, though. They did demand, well, they asked everyone to shout science.
I like demanded better.
Okay, then they
Science Channel is very demanding.
They demanded us. They said, okay, the Science Channel wants us to all shout science at the end, and they're going to record it and use it type of thing. And so
okay.
everyone said science, and then under my breath, I said fiction. Like afterwards, and a guy dressed up as Nick Fury next to me laughed.
Nice. So, nice. On. Hey, anytime you can make Nick Fury laugh.
It's
that's
true.
Cool.
I mean, he has Fury in his name.
Right.
So generally,
of course,
not the most happiest
of
guys.
I'll be absolutely honest. Uh-huh. The first time I found out that I could change my last name through like going to the DMV uh-huh. and whatnot, I was really tempted to change my name to Fury. Because it's in the ballpark of my name.
It's true. Just drop a few letters.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So, yeah, there was my news story. Probably entirely too long. And I need to say.
It's cool.
It's fine. It's really awesome.
I need to mention, if you're just joining us, we are Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSTU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We're in the news. We're talking about news.
Mm-hmm.
In the news.
Right.
That's what we do.
In a news region.
In the news region. Yeah. So who has our next story?
Well, I guess it's Caleb.
If you have one, go for it. I can...
No, go for it.
Okay.
No.
All right.
He demands you to go.
No.
All right. Well, this is about new research that shows that there has been prior meltings of the Atlantic ice sheet, the Eastern Atlantic ice sheet on Antarctica. Now, the reason though that's kind of important is because that was widely regarded as one of the more stable pieces of ice on the world. So it's kind of like when things are stable in science, you can use it as a reference point. When there's low variance, you can say, okay, when we have this...
And now they just have to completely throw science out the window.
No.
We're done. Science is retired.
Science?
It's fired.
Over. Right. Now they have new ways to analyze the data that they are seeing in other places, because it's like, if there's melting here where it's very stable, what, you know, does that... Is this pattern of warming and cooling more natural than we thought, or is this being unnaturally... It's basically more interest in... More ways of looking at the environment as we know it and how it interacts with itself and with us.
Okay.
So they can historically drill through the ice and see what the layers were like, what was the chemical makeup of the world in some ways by looking at the materials that they find there.
Okay.
And they found that during the Pleistocene epoch, about 5.3 to 2.6
That's my
million
favorite,
years.
Favorite epoch.
All time.
I love that one.
They found geologic evidence that
better
indicates...
than the one from Matrix, hands down. Don't get me wrong, I kind of liked her, but yeah.
They found geologic evidence that indicates like, that atmospheric levels of carbon dioxide were very similar to the modern levels of about 400 parts per million.
Okay.
So, which if you've heard that phrase but never quite sure what it meant, it's
parts per million?
400 molecules of air for every one molecule of carbon dioxide.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's how that kind of shakes down in layman's terms. Thank you, Yahoo Science News, for breaking that down. and that the global temperatures were about 2 to 3 degrees Celsius or 3.6 to 5.4 degrees Fahrenheit higher than they are now. And the sea level stood about 66 feet higher than they were before.
Okay, go Pleistocene.
So there is some... So this kind of like shows that while we are definitely having effect on the environment, it has done this before, and we're still here. So there's hope for us that we aren't killing the Earth right now. Like in terms of like the melting ice is not necessarily our fault. Not that it's. I realize that the whole global
careful here.
Global
yeah.
warming
you're
is
you're going to make people whoa, really whoa. Angry.
Global warming is a sensitive issue. there is no firm definitive answer about it yet, but it seems like there is evidence that says that that the Earth has gone through these cycles before. What that means, how that works out for us now, what we should be doing about it is still something that needs to be
It's all those dinosaurs in their freaking cars.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Definitely. They're just too big.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
The Pacific Rim taught us nothing. It's like they got here too early. They were trying to live here, and then like, nope, it's not working out. And so,
man, you just completely ruined a plot point for everybody.
What?
No. Well, not a big one.
I was lost. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm lost. What?
Anyway,
it's interesting science. So, no matter what your thoughts on. Global warming, this is interesting science because it's more data, more data points. The more information we have, the better we can make conclusions about where we are now and how we proceed into the future.
Right.
There you are.
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, science. If you thought drilling into icebergs was cool, well, then I have something else for you.
Ooh, I'm ready.
Well, okay. It's kind of cool, I thought. It comes from a
cool
company
as
that
an ice cold.
No, actually, not like that at all.
Oh,
More like electricity type of things.
Okay,
but
electro.
Yeah, sort of like that. Anyway, there's this company called Belkin, which I'm sure a lot of geeks have heard of, just because if you're powering anything, you probably have some manner of Belkin device someplace. Including the one sitting right in front of me.
Yeah. I think that's a Belkin.
Now, I've had a lot of mixed good and bad from my experiences with this company.
Mm.
But one thing I've always respected it for is doing something kind of neat with their designs. They always come up with stuff that makes it a little bit more usable, a little bit better for like storing cables or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they kind of took things a step forward, a step farther as far as making your entire house a little bit more connected. And it's something that I kind of wondered why people hadn't done really a lot sooner, or at least at a more reasonable price.
Mm.
Belkin started making light switches that are Wi-Fi. So you can use your cell phone or your home network to control your light switches now if you have one of these things.
That's now, really cool. The only thing I ever saw that came close to this before was those X10 things.
Yeah, it's kind of the same idea except with
modern
technology that's more reliable.
Technology
slightly more reliable.
From the last 20 years instead of the last 40 years?
Right.
From the year 2000.
Or 1980. Yeah, they need just some chubby guy from the year 1980.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, they call it the Wemo light switch. And it's going to put you back a fair amount of money, so you're not going to deck out your entire home with one of these things, but it's definitely a nice thing to plug into an entryway.
Mm.
If,
well, yeah.
Or if you're loaded, put it on, heck, everything. Why not?
Or maybe you put it on, like, the main switch in a room, so that way, like, when you leave the room, you can just flick all the lights off at once.
Definitely. Yeah. That would work.
Or on your home entertainment system, so you just click one button, whole thing powers up. Bong! Or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just
the possibilities are absolutely limitless.
Amazing!
It's true.
Anyway, it completely is self-contained within a normal light switch, which, again, it's...
That's pretty impressive, too.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting to the point where all of the technology that we have should be able to fit in little things like that. I mean, you look at your cell phone, if you just make it a little bit thicker, you can fit it into a light switch just fine. Mm-hmm. So why not?
Well, I've heard that before.
I'm not talking about light socket or electricity socket.
Moving right along.
Anyway.
Slurpees.
What are they good for? Now they're cool.
No, making the Slurpee thicker, you know, because it gets all watery and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you people out there were thinking when I said that. Dirty Caleb.
I wasn't thinking anything. Were you thinking anything?
Yeah, Caleb got all red and he is dirty.
He is sort of
dirty.
Off tone right now. Yeah.
It's true. What are you saying? What are you trying
I'm squinting at him accusingly.
Finish your story so we can move on.
Oh, that's it. I don't have anything else. Well, I mean, I have more stories, but that's the end of that one. So, hey, take it away.
Okay. This one's kind of timely. There will be a near Earth asteroid flying by our planet this evening.
Whoa!
What? When?
Around 9 p.m. EDT. I have to look that one up. But Tuesday, 1 p.m. Tuesday. No, 1 a.m. Tuesday, Greenwich Mean Time. Look that up yourself. Sorry, I don't have the converter here in front of me.
So depending upon when you're listening to this,
right.
In the podcast form, it probably already happened. But if you're listening live,
you might still be able to catch it. I'll mention it again before we sign off. There's going to be a near-Earth asteroid a group down in the Canary Islands will be is tracking specifically because it's... It's
made of canaries.
No, not so much. But they
just shot you down. Shot you down.
I thought I was onto something there. I mean, why else? I mean,
yeah, I'm sure there's canaries there. They're pretty common birds, but they're
on the asteroid.
No, I doubt they'll be on the asteroid.
Okay,
it's out in space, and there's not a lot of. I don't think it has an atmosphere.
Space canaries.
This place is lame. It has no atmosphere.
Got that. That's pretty good.
anyway, the observatory is known as SLOO, SLOOH, and the website SLOO.com.
Someone out there shouting, you call yourselves.
Yeah. We apologize.
Yeah.
Scientific institution of the Canary Islands.
since they have a really good view of it, they will be broadcasting the passage of it. Live on their website, which is kind of cool in case you're getting this late, or if you want to try and catch it live, they have a way to behold space science live, and they're going to also put commentary on it as well, so that if you're something of an astrological neophyte, you can still kind of engage with what's going on. So
that's cool.
There you go. Very cool things to see in the sky. And near Earth asteroids, they're pretty amazing. And you consider that this particular one's about the size of a football field.
That's kind of big.
It's not small. It is not small.
Hopefully, it doesn't get any ideas and decide to visit.
Its trajectory should take it past Earth, but it'll be close enough that we can actually see it with. Observatories here. So
hopefully there's no Batarians on it with rocket boosters.
Ooh.
That would be messed up.
Take your shot.
Yeah.
Of water or something.
Beverage of choice.
In case you didn't recognize it. That was a Mass Effect reference.
Take another one. Speaking of something that you can take.
Sure.
Multiples of. Jewish Film Festival, taking the expansive and ever-changing notion of Jewish culture at the 33rd San Francisco Jewish Film Festival. The festival's run from July 25th through August 12th in theaters in San Francisco, Berkeley, Oakland, Piedmont, Palo Alto, and San Rafael. Experience a full complement of films, festivities, and special appearances. For more information about festival films and events, please call 415-621-0523. That's 415-621-0523, or visit sfjff.org.
Cool.
All right.
Cool.
Well, our last story was way up in space, but this story is a little bit more down to earth.
Oh.
Cool. I've been working on these.
Mm-hmm. I've
been polishing up things. Anyway, so believe it or not, there is a tree that is literally called the Tree of Life. It exists in the Bahamas.
Uh-huh.
And it is the world's densest wood.
Hmm.
Which...
So, but does it still float?
I wouldn't... I don't know. I'm not sure that's in this article.
Huh, I'm just curious, because I know ironwood's one of the few that's so dense it cannot float.
Well, it should be more dense than that, so it does not float.
Holy smokes.
Ooh. Okay. So, yeah.
There you go.
Take that, ducks. I'm whack, whack. I don't know why.
The Mighty Ducks? We're going to get those Mighty Ducks.
Right.
We're going to beat the championship.
They're going to be stuck floating on top of the water like suckers.
You don't. No, you don't have Emilio Estevez as your coach anymore. We're going to take you down, Ducks.
It's true. Now that we have the Tree of Life. Anyway, the reason why I brought the story up was that... Not only is it, like, the densest wood in the world, it's not its only, like, sort of odd property. It's also naturally water-resistant, both salt water and, like, regular clear water.
Oh, okay.
And it contains enough of its own oils that it acts as a natural lubricant if it's used in mechanical parts.
Oh, interesting.
So it's actually a really popular thing to use for large bearings.
Interesting.
Huh.
So much so that our country's very first nuclear-powered submarine, the USS Nautilus, actually used it for the shaft bearings in its propeller.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
So anyway, what brings this story to now is that a company just started up, a Virginia-based company just started up that is starting up a thing in the Bahamas that they're selling the wood and trying to make it more well-known for everybody and how unique and useful it is. And they're not planning on just completely pilfering all of this wood off of the Bahamas. They're planting a good number of trees for every tree that they're using towards this stuff in the first place.
Uh-huh.
So it's an environmentally responsible company also.
Very cool.
That's good.
And yeah, it's pretty cool.
That is really interesting.
Hmm. Does it say if it's like, I mean, like bamboo, you know, grows like super fast. Is it kind of like average tree growth or?
It seems to be pretty average.
Oh, okay.
By everything that it says here, it doesn't make it sound like it's a
really
long-lived tree or anything like that.
So it's not like a Joshua tree or something like that?
I do not know for sure, but just what I'm getting from this.
If it's anything like the forestation, like the logging forests up in the Northwest, I'm sure it seems because they do like renew the trees that they cut down too. At least the responsible companies do so. I'm sure it's probably something similar. Sounds really cool, though.
Yeah.
But the other side of it, which brings it even farther into geeky territory, is that it totally reminded me of the tree that they ended up using to make the new ship in One Piece. So, yeah.
There you go.
Judge me if you will, people. I love that show. It's awesome.
It is totally awesome.
Yeah.
I am so behind on it right now.
Actually, I kind of am too. Not incredibly, but...
One of the people volunteers...
Yes.
At one of the panels that I was sitting in before the one that I wanted to hit, they were talking about anime and stuff like that. The volunteer was dressed up as Luffy.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
So I'm saying One Piece.
You know. There you go.
Very cool. Man.
Alrighty.
So does that wrap up our news?
I'll quickly hit the robot story and then we can, or do you want to move on to SDCC?
It's up to you.
Hit it.
All right. So robots are good for science, as we have shown many times with all the DARPA projects, but also
until they destroy.
Well, that's a different issue. This link I just put
that
up.
That beat. Oh, Boston dubstep robot.
Yes.
Destroyed the beats.
I am so ashamed to be with you guys right now.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm judgmental right now.
If I sound like I'm really excited, it's only because I'm programmed to sound this way. I'm really very depressed. No. The link is to a talk by Mark Sarah Setrakian.
Okay.
I apologize if I butchered your last name.
I was expecting Wahlberg, but
yeah,
that's pretty good too.
A different Mark. And he has made a name for himself by making mostly Hollywood robots, but robots based on natural motion and like kind of like pushing the idea of what making a robot move is like. And if when you see the video, he shows off kind of what he's taught. What I mean by that, it's not just like making.
Break dance?
It doesn't break dance, but.
But they do dance.
Sort of.
Do they do the wave?
Well, the first one he shows off was a robotic baby prop that they used for was used in a film, and you know where you would send the robot to do the shots that the baby couldn't do for obvious reasons.
Yeah. Oh, okay. For like this was for Baby's Day Out, then is what you're saying.
Probably he didn't specify which movie it was.
Okay,
but that sounds like a likely candidate.
Yeah.
But like one of the things he was very kind of proud of the fact that he of this is that he made it move like a natural human does, and like in doing that he kind of like worked out like how do we move, what makes motion work, how do you make it look realistic?
Okay.
And.
And he had to watch a lot of babies.
I'm sure he did.
Okay.
And then he went on to, he also made a series of BattleBots for the old Comedy Central BattleBot show.
Baby BattleBots.
Babies battling each other.
That would be...
The Triple B.
That would be quite the scene, but wasn't quite where he went with it.
They move naturally, but kill with reckless abandon.
So, but anyway, his focus is on the motion of robots, how to make them move in interesting and realistic and just smart ways. Like he also showed off a wolf robot he made for the M. Night Shyamalan film Lady in the Water, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not that the movie was any good, but the effect of the creature looked really neat. Like the motion, he showed a video of it working in his lab. I'm like, that is
okay.
A very cool looking robot, sir. Good job.
Nice.
And then later on, he was contracted to make giant fighting robots for the
giant what robots?
Fighting robots.
Okay.
Humanoid fighting robots for the Robot Combat League on Sci-Fi or Sci-Fi, if you prefer. And
no.
They have the first season has been made and is now available online as well. You can see clips and of the show there, but just kind of this talk was kind of the evolution of robotics as kind of like he's gone through it. Like how do you get from rolling battle bots with like
tank treads
and stuff to standing robots that
with
will,
tank treads.
No. That will also respond to physical motion and won't just look like Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Not that there's anything wrong with Rock'em Sock'em Robots, but it's not as interesting.
No, there's something wrong with.
if anything, Pacific Rim has taught us that when giant robots move in interesting ways, it's much cooler. So
that's true.
This was kind of like, now they aren't naturally that large, but they're some of the larger. Robots that I've seen like in common usage, so
in fighting,
cool. And yeah, so it's just a really cool talk and just kind of like see the evolution of the idea. So There you go.
Nice. All right, well, that's going to wrap up our news portion of Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We're going to take a quick, excuse me, music break. I'm going to play a track from the band Talkie Tina. Tarred and Feathered is that track from the album Talkie Tina. And after that, we're going to come back with Caleb's Corner. Want to tease the folks?
It's about how to, better ways to interact with introverts in your life.
Sounds good. All right. We are Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Radio Time, are you interested in free radio time? KSU loves to broadcast announcements about local nonprofits and government agencies. Email traffic at ksu.org with information on services or upcoming events, and we will consider making an announcement for your organization.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Hello, welcome back to Robots Attack on KSU, and this is Caleb's Corner, as you just heard, and this is where I get to pontificate about something interesting to me.
Yeah, I like the pontification.
Mm-hmm. And as I said, today it's about how introverts live and work, and how you can have better interactions with the introverts in your life, and. It started off as a someone did kind of like a funny comic about, like, you know, sort of a how to deal with introverts. He titled it "How to Live with Introverts."
Okay.
And he has some pretty good points here. The first thing that I think he hit really well was like defining what an introvert really is, and an introvert is someone that is not necessarily someone who is antisocial or is, you know, against being with people.
Though those people do exist.
They do exist, but that's not the strictly speaking.
And
an
oddly
introvert.
Enough, they are often more sociable than you'd imagine.
But an introvert is someone that it differs from an extrovert in the way that they draw energy from. How they deal with the energy in their lives. An extrovert is someone that when they're in a highly social environment, it gives them more energy. Being around social people, being around social gatherings, makes them more excited, more energized, and more, you know, just ready to go. Whereas an introvert finds those sorts of situations very draining. Not that they can't do it, not that they don't want to do it, but it's draining for them. They aren't as likely to do it because they regenerate their energy by being quiet, by being alone, reading a book,
by fishing,
playing video games, going to the
a
museum.
The bathroom.
You know, they can regenerate their life energy, their interaction energy by being not with other people. So that's kind of like the real differentiator between introverts and non-introverts.
Okay.
It's not being antisocial. It's not being like, you know, fearing the sun and hating everyone else in the world. I'm sure that
those are noble causes.
I'm sure there are introverts that are like that because any sample large enough will draw in other results. But like it goes on to kind of like, you know, like how tips on how to deal with an introvert. Like the main thing is like, don't ignore them and don't, like, you know, if you see them, just say hello, but
quickly surround them by as many people as you can.
If you want to see them get very feisty? Yes. If you don't, then just relax. Don't try and engage them.
Don't flash mob them.
The moment they show up, like, you know, acknowledge that they're there, that you're pleased to see them or whatever, and then kind of let them go.
Then quickly ignore them.
They will return to socialization if they, you know, if they, because like introverts, since being social is draining, they want to be sociable. They want to focus their energy in being sociable. Now, if that sounded like roundabout, but it's okay. The idea that like you want to, instead of like, you know, spreading a little bit of sociability everywhere, they want to make sure that when they are sociable, it pays off as much as it can.
Okay.
Like, you know, so it's instead of going to being excited, but due to a party with,
they're social snipers is what you're saying.
Sort of. They don't spray
and pray.
a social event with hundreds of people may not excite them, but a social event with 10 people might be much more attractive. That kind of thing. So that's like,
okay.
You know, and why this kind of came up to my mind was like, you know, Comic-Con just happened, mm-hmm. and you know, geeks are famous for being introverts, and so it's like
it's a thing. Look it up.
Yeah, it's again, any sample size large enough, you will get people that shift the scale. You know, your mileage will vary, but you know, as a general rule, people that are of our persuasion, of the geek persuasion, are often introverts, or is it that introverts are often of the geeky persuasion? I'm not positive how that particular jib
cuts. Works both ways.
It's but, something,
you know. It's not it. So basically, kind of like remind people that they're not trying to avoid you. They're not being quiet around you because they hate you, or they're being vindictive, or they're trying to steal your interaction time away from you.
Necessarily,
they just don't respond to sociability the same way you do. If you are an extrovert, mm-hmm. so they aren't trying to snub you. They aren't trying to be better than you. Us introverts are just. We don't wire up the same way. We'll be glad to interact with extroverts, but we will probably be the quieter one, then we'll let you do most of the talking if it's that kind of interaction. And some of us really do enjoy being, you know, we can really enjoy being around extroverts. It's just
right. If we're knee deep in a Mass Effect drinking game,
but you'll get more compressed versions of those interactions with an introvert. They won't happen, but they'll generally be probably less often, or you know, more intense, if you know that makes sense at all. So basically, it's all about that. It's a little different.
Okay.
It's not hateful. It's not spiteful. An introvert isn't trying to rain on your extrovert parade or anything like that. We don't respond the same way you do.
Right. George Lucas, his famous thing for giving people orders on how to do a scene faster and more intense. And that's it. Then he'd step away, like fade into the background. Like he was never there.
So they just kind of a nice reminder of life and living in a world that's made up of multiple personalities.
There you have the more you know.
Ding, ding,
ding. Ding, ding.
Alrighty, so that was an excellent Caleb's Corner. Hopefully you
I appreciated it.
Something out there. If you have friends who are extroverts or introverts. And
right.
Feel,
next one we're going to do is
something.
Extroverts for all of us introverts who don't know how to deal with them.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. Maybe something to consider for next week.
Yeah.
Alright, let's just jump straight into game discussion real quickly.
Sure.
Jason, you played Spartacus Legends. Quickly, tell us a little bit about that.
The fighting was actually a lot more competent and well made than I expected. They figured out a pretty decent fluid combo system. The actual buttons are pretty easy. It's the basic. It's kind of Soul Calibur-ish is what I'd compare it to. It's
okay.
Like hack slash block and throw mm-hmm. type of thing as far as normal button layout.
Right.
But the cool side of it, which unfortunately I didn't get to play around too much with because it's attached to another thing, is that it has that you're building these gladiators. You're building them up from kind of nothing, starting out them out with just training swords and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that side of it looked really interesting. Equipping the people the way you want. There's a perk system that you can purchase once they gain certain levels of fame and all sorts of stuff like that.
Right on.
The downside, I don't know if this was a one-off thing for me, but today I tried to play it, and nobody would connect to me online, since it is based on a live online interaction versus another player.
Mm-hmm.
Which I honestly kind of surprised me, because the other kind of big selling point of it is that, after me saying selling point, it sounds weird, but it's free.
Yeah.
So
it can still be a selling point even though the product is free.
Right. So even though it's free, I was surprised there's not that many people on it. It mm-hmm. actually has pretty good ratings online, and I can see why. It's not a really heavy-hitting game as far as the graphical quality or whatnot, but it seems to capture the essence of the TV show, from what I'm told, because right off the bat, one of the quotes that I'm sure everybody knows from the show that watches it was yammered off right at the beginning that I can't say on radio. And the finishing moves, honestly, kind of put Mortal Kombat to shame. They're pretty graphic for a not so graphically intense game. So it is impressive in that way, and it's definitely going to live up to that side of the show that it's based off of. Which, if you're not into that stuff, you probably want to stay away from it. But I thought it was kind of cool.
Nice. And as you mentioned, it's free. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So that's worth always.
It. Yeah, and it has fun facts. When it's loading up stuff, nice. Like it told me why tridents were popular. I had no idea.
Hmm.
Huh.
Yeah.
Cool. So it wasn't the gum?
He did not expect that from you. That's something I would pull.
I learned from the master.
Right. You've learned well.
Nice. All right, the next game, I played a little bit of it at the San Diego Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. It's one of the, it might be the very first game in the Summer of Arcade for the Xbox 360. It's called Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Oh, okay.
I
watched a little promo thing for it.
Yeah, so. it's a pretty looking. It looks pretty, you know, if you like the style. What to me is the most interesting appeal to it is it's like it's a co-op game, but you're playing it by yourself. Mm-hmm. And how you control both brothers is each one is tied to one of the thumbsticks. So say, like, I can't remember exactly, but I think, like, maybe the right one is the little brother, mm-hmm. and the left one is the older brother.
Mm.
And the older brother is stronger than the younger brother, so when it comes to solving puzzles or certain tasks that require strength, maybe picking things up or that sort of thing, you would right. use the older brother to do those actions, and then, you know, maybe sneaking around or doing other stuff. Anywhere where it sort of makes sense of like, oh, the little brother would be more useful mm-hmm. to use for that. And that's...
And their attitudes are different, too.
Yeah. And that's kind of essentially... I mean, I played it for, I don't know, about 10 or 15 minutes before the Xbox Lounge closed. And
right.
I had to leave. But it took a little bit to kind of wrap my head around the control of it.
I can imagine.
Because you get used to focusing on, like, one brother, and you're kind of like, you're focusing on that brother and you're moving, and then like the other brother is kind of veering off to the right,
yeah.
you know, because right. you're just kind of moving that one mm-hmm. without really focusing. But once you kind of get it down, it's pretty smooth. I mean, you know, you just got to wrap your head around it for a little bit. And
right.
I'm sure since where I played it wasn't like the exact beginning of it,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure it'll start out and kind of ease you into the process. And after a while, it became pretty natural. And it was neat seeing like there was a section where you would use like one brother to distract
mm-hmm.
a creature
uh-huh.
and then so the other brother could get to another platform, and then you'd use that brother to distract the other one so they could kind of continually move forward.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And another little puzzle of like it needed it was sort of like a the water kind of wheel
type
of thing. You needed someone to be inside that to move it, to open up or to lower the bridge. So you had to have your younger brother, you threw your younger brother inside there to spin it, lower the bridge, and then you walked over and grabbed a sheep with the older brother plopped it in there so I could continually move it so you both could go across. So it's it's kind of little things like that. I mean, I'm sure there's more to it. It's sort of like a kind of a fantasy setting thing because they ran into these giant and stuff that they talked a little bit and stuff. But I think it's a really neat concept. It's different than most games that I've seen. So
yeah,
I would definitely check out the trial. And it was cool once I wrapped my brain around how it worked. And they keep it really simple, like, because you have your thumbs on each of the sticks. Like, a lot of the actions, it's just by thumbs moving up to them. Yeah. Wow. So that's nice. You don't have to worry about these over complicated things like, oh, okay, gotta move this button and this while I'm
12 step combo.
Press A, hold down the left bumper, and then move the stick at the same time, kind of deals.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, I sort of liked on the promo video for it, they had, I'd assume, the lead producer talking it up, and he was talking about, well, a lot of people are asking, well, why didn't we make it a co-op type of game? Because, I mean, it seems like it would be a normal co-op experience, and his way of explaining it was, well, let's imagine trying to tie a shoe. You do it yourself. It's pretty easy. You bring another guy in to help you tie a shoe. It's impossible. So when you think about it that way and try and make that sort of puzzle, it makes for a kind of interesting game.
Very cool.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out if it sounds interesting to you. So... that is our game.
Oh, I did think of something I played a little bit of this weekend. Metro Last Light. I played a little bit of that. I don't know how recent that one is in terms of the newness scale, but it was pretty fun.
Yeah,
I think it came out relative
or March. Yeah, not that long ago.
Yeah, Jason had rented it and brought it over. It's a surprisingly competent game for being a non-major publisher. So I hope it makes enough to succeed to a sequel because I think it's got a lot of potential.
That is the sequel.
Yeah.
Oh, right. A trequel.
Hopefully there's more.
Yes.
Yeah. Because it was pretty cool. It's worth trying out, I think.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one a ton, actually. Mostly because I'm a complete fangirl whenever it comes to a bunch of good, like, Russian voice acting. I just love it for some reason. It's really cool.
Nice. Alrighty. Well, before we get to the core... got our final PSA of the evening. And if you've been listening to our show, it's very familiar to you. It's the San Jose Animal Advocates. If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All righty, gentlemen, let's get into the core.
You are now entering the core.
All right, so I was at San Diego Comic-Con
last
week.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to be talking about. So, gentlemen, where shall we start?
Okay.
We're sort of low on time, so I can't go into like a ton of stuff, but let's just...
Well, this is starting out as just a pure curiosity thing, since I noticed a lot of art pictures from DC on things that you posted on Facebook.
Right,
so
right.
I was wondering if you spent a lot of time in the DC area, if there was anything in particular that sounded interesting.
That was actually a separate section outside of the convention center.
Oh, okay.
Right where the shuttle I was taking... dropped off right outside of Petco Park, which is right near the convention center. And they have in this parking lot some extra stuff usually that you can go and check out. Like this year they had the Mad Max car. you could go in and shoot this little video of yourself, like in the game kind of thing. I did that. I was going to post that video at some point, but I got the Comic-Con, you know, like many conventions, when it can, get attractive ladies to help out or do certain stuff, it'll do that. And so this booth was, you know, no different with that. And
okay.
So because I was by myself, I asked if one of the lovely ladies there would sit in on the video with me and like action stuff. And it was pretty funny.
Cool.
But yeah, so there was that. There was like this fun house thing to go and check out. But they also had separate off this, I think it was, they were auctioning off these art pieces or something. It was, you can go in and they had like these custom cars, with all the different like Justice League characters tied to it. And inside, yeah, they had these DC art pieces and stuff. And so I took pictures of ones that I thought were interesting and stuff like that. So it was separate from the actual DC booth, so they had some pretty neat stuff there, and they had
the Aquaman car. I thought that was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, which I don't quite understand, but you know,
it was a pretty awesome paint job. I'm not sure that character quite lives up to that paint job, but maybe with the reboot. I don't know. I need to study up.
Yeah. I don't know.
A guy who's lives under the sea has a car. I mean,
it completely makes sense.
Come on, James Bond had a Lotus that was a submarine.
Right.
Totally.
He just ties it ties it into the back of a whale. That's it.
There you go. There.
You still need style underwater.
That's true. Question answered.
Right. There you go.
You just don't fill it with gas because that would be an environmental disaster.
Yeah. Speaking of something that I hope isn't an environmental disaster, I wasn't able to make it into this panel, but at the Warner Brothers panel, I believe towards the very end, Mr. Zack Schneider himself... walked out and announced that the next Superman movie is going to happen, and it's going to have Batman in it.
Yeah, I heard about that too. That blows my mind.
Yeah,
they were going to take that jump, especially since they don't know who Batman is at this point.
They haven't really picked anything yet. They haven't announced any. The only other thing they did was the actor who played like the main general guy in Man of Steel.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He came out as that character and read a line of dialogue from, I think it's the Dark Knight Returns or something about,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was a quote of like, the only person who's beaten you, Superman, is me, and Batman, or the only person who's beaten you, Clark, is me. I want you to remember that. Something like that. I mean, I totally butchered that, but it's essentially, it's Batman saying, I took you down. And so Batman is in this movie. And so, you know, that was a pretty big announcement for everyone.
Yeah.
Especially
pretty impressive.
Yeah.
If you're into that sort of thing. If you're into people that dress up like small furry animals with wings.
Yeah. But then if you're not into DC and you're more into Marvel, which had a huge showing on the Saturday.
Yeah,
and one of the things they mentioned was that Avengers 2 was like now Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that Josh Whedon is changing the origin story of Ultron because, what's his name? Hank?
Pym.
Hank Pym is not in Avengers 2.
Hmm.
And
thank goodness.
which begs the question, like, will the Ant-Man movie actually succeed and go anywhere or not? Like, that's a
hopefully not.
I don't know.
I hope they never make that movie.
But that was never brought up at the Marvel panel. That film. So the speculation is possibly that maybe now Tony Stark will be the origin of Ultron or something tied into that. I couldn't get into the Marvel panel because I decided that on Friday I waited at the Hall H line for 8 hours to get into Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, but wasn't able to get into that.
Oof.
So I thought, well, I could try this again Saturday and waste an entire day, or I can go to some gaming panels and some other things that I wanted to see.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to do that instead, and I went to the replay. If you're not familiar with the Comic Con, they do usually at the end of the nights, they'll have a replay of Hall H and Ballroom 20 of just the panels. They won't show any of the footage because legality reasons,
right?
But they can show the panels themselves and Q&As and stuff like that, and it's voted. So usually the big stuff that happened that day gets voted by everyone by a round of applause.
Mm-hmm.
So all the Marvel stuff got picked, and it would have been really cool to be there because of the stuff that they showed, but it was still neat to see it. Like the Marvel one they talked about, that for the Thor stuff, it mm-hmm. was the actor who played Loki coming out on stage as Loki, full on costume, playing Loki. Like it was pretty awesome. Like the one of the producers who came out first or something was talking, and then all the lights went out in Hall H.
Nice.
And if Thor, the movie is called Thor: The Dark World, and suddenly you hear the actors. I think it's like Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah. Yes.
He starts speaking over the speakers, mm-hmm. and he's talking about stuff like, "Oh, you had your chance, but you made your mistake. You picked the wrong person to follow," or something like that. I can't remember all of his exact words, but
okay.
Then like the lights sort of flickered and stuff like that, and there was like, some kind of like lightning sounds and sort of things. But and then suddenly, he walks out on stage as Loki. Crowd goes nuts. Like,
yeah, I'll bet.
this is a recording, so it's like, you know, you can hear the crowd going completely insane on the recording. You can imagine actually being inside the giant Hall H as it's erupting. Yeah. So he's out there. He has his arms up, you know, and they're cheering and everything like that. And it was so awesome. He puts his finger like up to his lips like this. Silence. Like the whole crowd just instantly silence. And then everyone in the room we were in, you know, like everyone like went like, "Oh, that's so awesome," you know? And then he starts pointing out in the crowd and is like, you know, like, "Kneel before me, like you should have followed me," blah, 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 stuff that Loki says. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was really cool. And then at the end, like they showed whatever, you know, footage, clip thing. So that was Thor. Then Captain America comes out and they show
a little dance.
Little dance, but they had like the entire panel for that, and I didn't realize like how many actual people were in it. Like Black Widow's in it, you know, Samuel L. Jackson. Mm-hmm. I mean, I heard about Robert Redford wasn't there, but I've heard that he's in the movie.
Huh.
You know, obviously Captain America, Chris Evans. What's her name? Colby Smulders or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, her character's in it.
Yeah.
Obviously, Bucky or the Winter Soldier. Not a huge spoiler or shock.
Spoiler alert!
Because even the two directors or so, they talked about like, it's like the audience is gonna know already. You know who he is and that sort of stuff. It's just, the big shock is for Cap. Like that's the surprise. It's like he doesn't know the stuff, but everyone else, you know. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, they made it sound like they're going to try to shoot for more of a political thriller kind of intrigue type of thing of where Cap's from. Like the bad guys are pretty clear, black and white. Nazis bad, America good. Now it's kind of a gray area, like who you can trust, who you know. So they're kind of playing with that and how Cap fits in this new
paradigm
way of things and everything. It sounds like they're making it a little more, I don't want to say like super adult or anything because it's still a comic book movie, but they're trying to make it a little more interesting, a plot a little more.
Still a guy in a spangly outfit.
Yeah.
A little more complex on the plot side, I suppose.
Although it is a pretty cool looking outfit.
Yeah.
It's funny, they kind of channeled Air Force design a little bit more from what I could tell. It has the star and then the twin stripes.
Okay.
Like it's the old Air Force logo.
Yeah, each of the days at the booth in the exhibit hall for Marvel, they had like props and stuff from the different movies. And so like they had his motorcycle, which I didn't get a chance to get a picture of. one of the days. And then another one, they had some costumes and stuff. And then the other one they talked about was Guardians of the Galaxy, which they just started filming like 12 or 13 days ago or something. They flew everyone out from London.
Oh, wow.
To the panel. And they were flying back right after the panel. So
Wow.
It was, yeah. And it has like, okay, so Zoe Saldana's in it. The dude from Parks and Rec, Chris Pratt, I think, or something.
Oh, right.
Yeah. The chick who, you know, Amy Pond.
Amy Pond from Doctor Who. Yeah.
She's in it. And Michael Rooker's in it. Benicio Del Toro. Yeah, it was cool though. I think her name's like Karen Gillan or something like that.
Yeah.
There was like this rumor of like, Chris Hardwick was moderating it. And he's like, oh, you know, all the fans of Doctor Who were sad to say goodbye to Amy and stuff like that. And, but they were super excited that you quickly got a new job, you know, that we'll just see you in something again. And there's this rumor about you shaving your head. And she had the red hair, and it was from just watching the video, it didn't look like a wig, but she's like, and she kind of slowly like grabbed her head and like slowly pulled it down and took it off, and she was like completely bald. And it was funny, right next to her is Michael Rooker, who's like bald for like, but like a tiny little sort of mohawk next to him. So it was kind of funny, like seeing them next to each other.
Nice.
But she took it off, and she was like kind of swinging around playing with it, and then she just threw it right in the crowd. And the best part was she's all, oh no, wait, I need that back. I don't know why I did that. I just, the impulse, I was so excited. I just wanted to do it. And like, if you're,
she's adorable.
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna say. It's like, even bald, she's still super cute. So
you know, no matter who got it, no matter how tempted they were to keep it, they were like, and walked calmly.
At the end of the panel, it got thrown back on the stage. But I can't remember if it was Chris Hardwick or someone sort of joked around of like, I don't know if you want that back, but but yeah, so that were those. And then the I'll mention briefly the 20th Century Fox panel right before it was the Wolverine one, so they had Hugh Jackman come on and talk, and it was really cool because he just seemed like a really cool guy, because a lot of it was just thanking the crowd that, like, I wouldn't be here without you guys. Like, Wolverine was my first role, and because, I wasn't the first picked by a long shot on it. I got the job because the main guy who got selected couldn't do it after a little bit. And it was just like, I'm eternally grateful, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that was really cool. And then they talked about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, the next sequel to Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Uh-huh. And then the last thing was the X-Men Days of Future Past. Mm-hmm. And that panel was everybody. So, like, the whole cast from First Class and just about everyone from the X-Men movies. So, and, like, Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen on the stage sitting next to each other.
Whoa. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Halle Berry, Ellen Page, Anna Paquin, like everybody, like the band, it was huge, like super long. Just seeing like everyone was like, whoa, that is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, I really hope this is good. I mean, the fact that they got Bryan Singer back, like directing it and stuff, is like, that gives me hope. So,
although I'm not sure I'll ever look at Rogue quite the same way after seeing True Blood, but
true. But
having never seen the show, I'll just nod and smile.
Yeah,
as well. That, you should.
But I will say, I mean, next week if we want to continue it, since we're running out of time now, I can talk about more. But I'll probably just say a panel that I did actually make it into. It was after Walking Dead and after Game of Thrones that I didn't make into. The next thing was Sony movies, and I was like, I've been in this line all this time. If I don't sit in and see something, it's like, I feel like I've wasted my day.
Yeah.
And so the best things in it were, they showed RoboCop and Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, okay.
RoboCop surprised the hell out of me. That looks really good.
Okay.
Like, I was like,
they picked a
good
actor.
This is really cool. Yeah. And they recognize, they're like, we're not remaking the first movie. We're just taking, you know, sort of the concept, a little bit of the idea, and we're making an entirely different thing. It's not like we, you know, we love the original. We respect it. Like it's in its place. Yeah. Yes. This is not like a retelling of that. Like, you know, we're not just remaking that movie. Yeah. This is a wholly, entirely new thing. Like Michael Keaton, Samuel L. Jackson, the guy from The Killing, I forget his name.
Yeah.
They're all in it. And like Michael Keaton is sort of the main guy behind the company that's made all these drones and robots and the Ed 209. And they showed those and the new RoboCop. The idea is like this company makes drones and all these things that work in everywhere else but America. And he wants to bring them into America. And so he's trying to figure out like the best way to do it. And that's where RoboCop comes in and how they can do it. And the director sort of mentioned like a really cool thing with some of the questions of it showed like the head of Alex Murphy and his hands. And he said the reason why they kept their hands, like when you introduce someone and you meet someone, what do? You shake their hand.
Right.
So by keeping the human hand there, it's a familiarity and sort of a welcoming thing instead of this all, you know, just entire robotic person. And so it was, it really surprised me because I was not really expecting much of this movie. And but I have much more faith now that I definitely, like, I want to see this. Like, okay,
cool.
This looks like it'd be pretty solid. And then Amazing Spider-Man. You know what? I think because they did some cool stuff with that, and we got to wrap up, unfortunately. But we'll hit that next week if you want to, because that was that was fun. Mm-hmm. It had Jamie Foxx on the panel, was fun with Andrew Garfield. Like the chemistry between them was really good. So
nice.
I'll talk about more of that next week. But that's been Robots Attack, one of the only Geek Center talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We're going to wrap it up, and we thank you for listening. Hopefully we entertained you. I'm sure we did, because that's what we do on this show.
Yeah, definitely. One of our listeners
bring it.
Actually brought up that they think that the Batman-Superman combo is going to be kind of a bid for the JLA and to compete with the Avengers, which makes a fair amount of sense, since it's like that's the two big hitters of both.
Yeah, because they mentioned before that they wanted Man of Steel, like the world of Man of Steel, to kind of be the springboard to get the other characters in. So,
which is why they brought Nolan in.
Yeah. So
cool.
So yeah. So
there you go.
And in fact, like that listener did, Caleb, tell them how they can do that.
That's right. If you would like to be that listener and have your tweet read over the air, or just interact with us, because it's awesome to interact with us. You can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack. Two words. We'll be there. And or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is Robots Attack Me. And finally, we are on ye olde email at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if, wait, you're going, wait, I can't write that all down fast enough. Just remember, robotsattack.me. There, if you go there, active episodes, links to all the social networks I described, and just even more awesome. We look forward to interacting with you in the future.
That is right. All right, thanks for listening again. We will be back Monday from 6 to 8. Have a great rest of the week and weekend. Thanks for listening. We are out.
Raccoon. Veronica. Nicto.